our only expectation be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Let us continue this worship service, congregation, by singing Psalm 52, the stanzas 1 through 4. Psalm 52, the stanzas 1 through 4.
Thank you.
scripture reading in this afternoon can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the revelation of John chapter 21. But first, the confession, we read a confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The scripture reading can be found in Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like the jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a veil great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. And the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, of a man that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophrasus, and the eleventh jacinth, and the twelfth the amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, and it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God didn't lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of all of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. Lord, we have no power to preach, and we have no power to pray, because we are so weak and we cannot think anymore. Because let us flee to Thee, O Lord. Thou give us strength by the power of Christ, because without His power we have to die. O Lord, take us by Thy right hand, because our friends, there are so many friends, they have left us. But if Thou be with us, we will make it all right. We make it good, O Lord, because Thou art so good. Thou art so good for bad people in themselves. We cannot save ourselves, O Lord. We cannot walk without Thee. We cannot do one footstep in the right direction without Thy guidance. Lord, help us also by preaching and by listening. Open our ears, because they are blocked by nature, and we hear only our own things, what we will hear, what we want to hear. But if we hear the voice of the Son of God, then we shall live. That is written in your holy word. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live. O Lord, that it may happen today, that it may happen in this afternoon, that it may happen on all places where Thy word will be preached. O Lord, increase Thy kingdom. We must decrease, but Thou must increase. Lord, remember us. Remember us in our afflictions and miseries and troubles. impossibilities, because thy people have so much impossibilities. Not so many difficulties, but so many impossibilities. O Lord, but for thee there is no impossibility, because thou art the Lord. Thou art the Lord of impossibilities. And, O Lord, you can make all our impossibilities possible by thy word, because thy word is what thou art doing. Word and deed are the same by thee. O Lord, that we may remember it. Our word can be so empty. Our words can be so empty. Because we can give a promise and we let the fulfilling, O Lord, that is only by thee. Because what thou hast promised will be fulfilled. O Lord, be with us and be with our members. Fulfill us with the Holy Spirit in true conviction, or with the comfort in Christ, true comfort. O Lord, let this happen, because we cannot without thee, we cannot without thy love, we cannot without thy divine truth. And we can only understand the truth, O Lord, that it may be known among us by thy Holy Spirit, because a man by nature know nothing at all. Only the outwardly truth by brain knowledge, but that is too short, it is too short for the eternity. There are so many false prophets who are full of knowledge, but that we may receive, O Lord, divine knowledge. Divine knowledge in Christ, an experience of faith, can only be by thy word and in a new heart received. O Lord, be with the widows and the orphans, be with poor people, sick people, that it may be a means in thy hand to be converted, to become a child of God, in the conviction that we are not a child of God by nature. When we see in the mirror of the law, we see the image of a fallen sinner. O Lord, revive us. Revive thy people in the first place. And give a revival among the Christians and the Jews. O Lord, remember the Jews, because it is thou covenant people. Remember them and lead them to Christ. Take away the cover of their hearts, of their stone hearts, because they are sitting on the chair of Moses, that they may come to the feet, to the judgment seat of Christ. O Lord, help us take away our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, this morning we have think about the text. You can read it. We have read it this morning in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41, where there is written, there is one glory of the sun, and the chapter we have read, Revelation 21, it is also written that the Lamb of God is the light. And we are saved, and when we are saved, we shall walk in that light. And then there is in him no darkness. It is not a point of light, but not a dot, but a multitude of light. It is the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world. With other words, he is the Son of Righteousness. But there is a difference, a distinction, heavily distinction among the, God's children. And they are the stars, they are the stars, the spiritual stars. And what do we understand by all this? And we have preached about some things of this subject, congregation. What Paul says is very important when he says, I'm fleshly sold under sin. That is very important because by nature we cannot understand, and we think that God's people are spiritual. They are, but that is not a thought of their own. The thought of Paul was, and read it in Romans 7, the law is spiritual, but I am fleshly sold in the sin. I am not spiritual. The law is. And therefore, that is the reason that he honored Christ. Only the glory of the Son of Righteousness, that is the only subject, that is the only subject of faith. Because if we are spiritual, then we can glorify ourselves. Then is it Christ and I, and in the beginning of life, in the spiritual life, that is often the reason, that is often kind of talk when a Christian become a real Christian, then it is I and Christ. And after a period, after a time, then he learns some more, then is it Christ and I. But I've said there is a difference and heavenly distinction. The fathers in grace don't say anymore Christ and I, of I and Christ. No. You know what they say? What Paul says. Christ alone. Not I. Not I anymore. He alone. He is the fountain of life. I live it. But no more I. Christ lives in me. And that is the man's life after grace received. But a few confessing people in our times, in our days, can understand that. Yeah, because it is a secret, for sure, it is a secret, but not so impossible. You know, the apostles cried out, the disciples cried out, when the Lord told him that a rich man, this is for a rich man, you know, almost impossible to enter the heaven. And then the disciples cried out, nobody can be saved. Nobody can be saved. Because, you know, that rich man in the parable of the poor Lazarus, you know what Lazarus was, the experience of Lazarus, the poor Lazarus, the leper. You know that? He was the rich man. But Lazarus, the poor man, knows the rich man. But that rich man doesn't know the poor Lazarus. That's the difference. That's the difference. In order to be spiritual, you know, we need the administration of the Holy Spirit to receive, because God's people cannot work with faith. They cannot work with faith. Faith is not a stick. You can move it afterwards, or backwards, or forwards. No. Then works, then faith. Is work. But faith is not work, you know. Faith is not the subject. Faith is a means. You know that, you understand that. Faith, look upon Jesus. Jesus Christ is the subject of faith, not in the other way around. You know, I meet many people and they very high-minded and believing people, and they have faith. But I'm asking always, what is the contents of your faith? Tell me. He said, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. But I said, tell me, how did you get over out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? That isn't happening, that is a real, that is the wonder in man's life. And then mostly of the time the car stops, the car of believing people stops, because they cannot tell it. They don't know. You know the foolish virgins? Five wise virgins. And the five wise virgins, they know the secret. They know the secret. They were in darkness. They were in the bounds, in the chains of the devil. They know it. And they know who it was, who were they delivered out of the chains of the devil, of the kingdom of darkness. Yeah, that's very important that we know that, because that we know that we, by application, that the Lord God put us on the rock of eternity. And the rock of eternity, that is Jesus Christ himself. It's very important. That's not very important. That is the thing that you have to know, that you must know. So heavenly instruction is necessary, and experience of faith is necessary, but because faith without experience is a dead faith. You know that? Yeah. And I've said there is no regeneration without the knowledge of Christ, and that Holy Spirit works, dwells in us when we are regenerated, dwells in us and moves our faith, you know. The Holy Spirit. It says God's people has a divine nature. What is that, the divine nature? Is that a power? Is that an inside power? Or what is it? It is the Holy Spirit itself. That is the divine nature of God's people. We have no holy flesh. It's damned flesh. Cursed flesh. God's people are not holy in themselves. What makes them holy? The righteousness of Christ. The sanctification of Christ. The holiness of Christ. That makes them holy, because the Holy Spirit put it on the account of the true believers. And we can stand for God because Christ is in the front of us. Christ is it before us, for us, for you, for me, if we believe in Christ. You know, that is the strength of, that is the power of grace. Christ for us. He instead of us. That is the power of true faith. Not Christ in me, because then I have to seek, and if Christ is in me, yeah, today maybe yes, and tomorrow maybe no. I don't know. But in his holy word, what Christ has done for his people, put the Holy Spirit on your account completely, his his obedience under the law. He came under the law to save people who were under the law. We are by nature all under the law, under the wrath of God. And the Lord Jesus can deliver us from under the law to be a real Christian. Christ is the beginning of life. Yeah. That is not outwardly, because by justification, that's a judgment. Justification is a judgment. Then you have to appear for the judge, then you are guilty. Right? Yeah, then you have a transgression. What happens in that courtroom? What happens in that spiritual courtroom? Then the judgment sounds guilty, guilty to death. Because we have sinned against a holy God. And what happens then? The sinner received his judgment. It is right. Because the Lord is always right. He is a holy judge. Not a bad judge. He is a holy judge. And then there must be people. Yeah. There is a people who is lost. When you receive your judgment, then you are lost, isn't it? Forever lost. And when that happens in spiritual sense, then the Lord Jesus, the mediator, was hidden behind the judgment seat of God. And then he appears and he comes in between the sinner and a holy God. He comes in between. Yeah. And then that mediator is talking. Then he speaks, Father. His face points to his Father. Father, it is not my will that this sinner comes in the eternal destruction, because I bought him with my own blood. Here is my blood, my dear Father. And then, what follows then? Then the sinner goes free. Goes free by the gospel. Goes free by the word, by the voice of the Son of God. That is justification. That goes in a very straight way. Yeah. Then the word is so powerful. John Warburton says about this, at that moment, the promises of the gospel were falling in his heart, one by another. And then the gospel comes so powerful. There is no doubt anymore. No doubt. When the Lord Jesus speaks you free, there is no doubt. You know, there is only faith. Only faith. And there is faith in the Lord Jesus because I am so a believing man. No. The Lord Jesus, he speaks and it is. His word, his promise are the same as the deed. When he speaks to you in your heart, when you are a dead sinner, then he speaks you alive. That is the powerful voice of the Son of God. That is his almight. Yeah. And only when a soul may know Christ as his Savior, does such a soul receive discerning knowledge of the divine truths. For sure. In all other cases, outside the knowledge of Christ, Our understanding is darkened, and we don't receive the things which are of the Spirit of God. And then the divine things will be a stumbling block and a foolishness to us when we don't know, when we have no saving knowledge of Christ. But when we have received and saving knowledge of Christ, it cannot be that we lump everything together and that we mix everything together, for in the distinctive of life of grace, God's own work in Christ is glorified the more gloriously. And how could God's true people have objections against this when they may testify with Paul, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God." Yeah. God's people desire the more to mention God's glorious majesty and adorable glory. For the distinction which is meant in our text is not put in it, is not put in it by man. No, it is God Himself who makes one star, one spiritual star, shine like a big night star, and makes the other one pinkle star, one pinkle like a small morning star. That is God's recreation. You know, the Lord created heaven and earth. You know it? How do you know that you are born? How do you know it? Your mother tells you. And the word, the gospel, tell us you are reborn again. When that is mingled with faith, you know, then you know it too. The word tells you that. The Lord Jesus has told you personally that you are a reborn child of God. Yeah? That is the truth. For the distinction which is meant in our text is not made by man, but by God. However, all spiritual stars have one thing in common. There's also the truth. They all shine to the honor of a triune God. You know, the Lord God will never say that little star is shining too short. No. A little child of God, a baby in spiritual sense, a spiritual baby, will glorify the Lord. Because a small starlet shines just as perfectly as a big star, only that the big star reflects more luster of Christ than a small starlet. You know? But that little star, a little star, is not like the moon. A moon can be half. Or a sickle, you know? But not a star. Even not a little star. He's full of light. A little star is full of light. You know? Do you know what the old godly people use it to say? You know it? I will tell you. A bucket is full, but a thimble is also full. You know it? It is to the glory of God. You know? It is not a question if you have, or you have a big faith or a little faith. Is it a true faith? That is the question. That is the question, you know. And ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for a true faith. Don't ask for a big faith. Don't ask for a little faith. But ask the Lord, give me a true faith in Christ. Even if it is little, doesn't matter. Because God's people most of the time has little faith. But the Lord God is so big, you know. Even for a little faith. So, a little faith or a big faith doesn't matter. If you have a true faith, that is the thing. And the true faith is absolutely necessary in life and death. A true faith in Christ. Then we can confess what our real comfort is. What is our real comfort? You can read it in the Catechism, question and answer 1. Now, nowadays, some people immediately want a full bucket of faith. Oh, yeah. But the woman of Canaan was contented with a few lumpkins of heavenly manna. You know that woman of Canaan was crying for her daughter? You know? His daughter was under the power of the devil, and that woman of Canaan was crying after the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, yeah, the bread is not for the dogs, but only for the children of Israel. But then she breakthrough in faith. Oh yeah, Lord Jesus, yeah. She confessed it. Yeah, I'm a dog. But the dogs are eating of that little lumpkins of bread under the table. And then the Lord Jesus says, oh woman, great, big is your faith. Go therefore, and your daughter will be healthy. Yeah. For she was not even worthy of those lumpkins. And what did she got? The whole bread. The whole bread? Yeah. For Christ said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. So that woman occupied the lowest place before that great Son of God, that great Son of David, the Son of Righteousness. She was contented, lying, bound. She was not a liar. She was lying, bound at his feet like a dog, and possible being fed with the fallen lumpkins. She was satisfied with that. And that would be an eternal wonder to her, that if that spot were granted her. For in order to be granted to shine to God's honor like such a small starlet, that is such an incomprehensible wonder, beloved. I cannot tell in words. I cannot tell you that in words. That woman, she took her place, you know, as a dog. That is self-knowledge. Self-knowledge in the presence of the Holy Lord Jesus. That is self-knowledge. That was a believing woman. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She was not crying for herself, but for her daughter. But her daughter, who was in the bondage of the devil, it was her burden, you know. And then a father in grace. She was a woman in Israel. Yeah, it was a heathen. It was a Gentile. It belongs to the Gentile. But it was a woman in Israel in spiritual sense, spiritual meaning. A father in grace carries the burden of the little ones, carries the burden of unconverted people, carries the burden of, then you are carrying the burdens of your children, your unconverted children. Because that daughter of the woman of Canaan did not make an exception of us by nature. No. We are also by nature under the power of the devil. And that is our own guilt. That was our choice in paradise. But the Lord Jesus has conquered the devil. Don't forget it. The power of the devil has no power of himself. No. Nothing at all. God gave him power. You know? The devil is nothing. But, yeah, Luther says, the devil is the dog of God. He hunts after the flock, after the sheep. It is a stupid devil, because you know, then the flock comes together and flee to the right person, Jesus Christ, you know? Yeah, but don't play with the devil. Do not play with the devil, because he knows, and he knows so many tricks, so many temptations. It is not a simple person. It is more than a professor, more than a doctor in spiritual things. He believes in God, but he shakes, you know? Yeah, there is one thing more I want to say. It is all about the Son of Righteousness, you know. There is a glory of the sun, glory of the stars, and all the stars depend on the glory of the sun. And referring to this, the Son of Righteousness, he is the light of the world and the spiritual stars reflecting his light. But there is one thing more. How often one speaks of the stars, but how little is said about the sun in spiritual sense? How come? Well, beloved, our horizon is not be broadened. We are so narrow-minded. Narrow-minded people also. Mostly the time God's people is also narrow-minded. Oh yeah. Because if you have a little bit experience of faith, a little bit knowledge of the cross of Jesus, then you are so narrow-minded, you know. You're always fighting against that cross. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, you know. I have no wisdom. No. God's people have no wisdom. The Apostle Paul has no wisdom. Because Christ is his wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. You know, when you have some knowledge, then you think, I am a wise man or a wise woman. You know, you know a little bit, and you say it in that kind of words. I know something about it, and I'm talking in the framework of grace, of the life of grace. But God's people know nothing. But faith is knowledge in the first place. But that is an older knowledge that we have by nature. Spiritual knowledge, that is, yeah, you can think about it, but that doesn't help. You can only get it for free. And then you get it in Christ, you know? Grace is not separated from Christ. Grace is not a thing that you can grab it. So, I have it and I can work with it. No. That is also the same with faith. The Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to move us, you know, to move us in the right direction. And the guidance, and this is the Word of God, is a lamp before my feet. But there is so many dark time in the life of grace, and the Lord is glad. You can make the Lord glad when you are crying to the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, let me know about eternal life, temporary life, that you need the Lord in all things. Not in some things, but in all things. Bow your knees and ask for the Lord. Because our horizon is not be broadened, you know. We are so narrow-minded, I've said, and that is true. Darkness is on our side. And yes, what must darkness talk about, but about darkness? For compared to the Son of Righteousness, the biggest star is only a shadowy spot. Or do we want to glorify the creature above the Creator? That is the reason that I say, that I have said, often speaks man about, and also God's people, about the stars, the spiritual stars. But what about the Son of Righteousness? That must be our talking. John the Baptist was pointed in the direction of the Lamb of God. He says, don't look at me, I'm not the Christ. He is there. Or do you want to glorify the creature above the Creator? But if it is true, the smallest starlet cannot bear that people talk, that only talk about the stars. You know, for Christ is the only person that matters, and therefore God's true people will cast all their crowns and at His blessed feet. Yeah. Jubilating through Him, through Thee alone, for Thine eternal good pleasure. But nevertheless, it remains true that one star differeth from another star in glory. God's kingdom is so multicolored, beloved. And one cannot express this in words. God's kingdom is worldwide, and God will gather at His church from all for all wind directions, because His house has to be filled. But there is a difference between the stars, mutual. The Apostle Paul had been caught up to the third heaven, and there he saw such a heavenly distinction and overpowered glory, but Paul couldn't say anything about it. He cannot express it in words, because it sounds, if he talks about it, then it sounds it's heavenly. We cannot understand that. I don't want to use that word, but it sounds crazy, you know. He says, no eye had seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love. And they all shall be there, the small and the great in Christ, small stars and big stars. So one star is small and the other is big, for one star differeth from the other star in glory. And now you should never think that by the small stars small children are meant, no, or that the regenerate unborn fruits are compared only with little ones, no, it has nothing to do with age, no. They might very well be, but by little ones are meant just as well a 100-year-old timer who has received a thimbleful of knowledge of Christ. Yeah, that can be. For in that measure he will shine like a small starlet, which Revelation 19 speaks about. My beloved, you may be jealous of the little ones in Christ, mind you. For it would be a great wonder of grace to be counted worthy of this, to be a little star, to be a little one of Christ. And with little ones we don't mean that one could be contented with just a wee little, for there are also people who want to go to heaven with little grace, as possible. They call themselves regenerated believers, but Christ is unknown by them, unknown by a way of justice. That is a false doctrine in our days, that in many churches sounds. But we have to know Christ by a true faith, and we must, that is more important, we must be known by Him. So then the Lord has spoken in your life, spoken out of the gospel, spoken through the gospel. the power in your heart, you know. For the body of Christ is a perfect body, respectfully speaking. No part of his body can be done without. Yeah. And I've said, I've preached in the past to you that the other hand of that body, a big star, and other words, a big star won't say to such a small star, you don't belong here, or you don't count yet, you don't mean much yet. No. Oh no. For the body of Christ is perfect. Body, perfect body, respectfully speaking, no part of this body can be done without, for as little as the hand of a natural body can say to the foot, I don't need you. Much the less will the hand of the spiritual body of Christ want to say to the foot, I don't need you. If that were possible, the body of Christ could be divided and pulled apart. That is eternally impossible. But it is distinguished purely, for also in a natural body, the left leg won't be able to say to the right arm, we have the same operation and the same tasks. Do you understand? That is the distinction, heavenly distinction in spiritual sense. You know? How much the more there is a distinction in respect to the body of Christ. So the members of that body don't all have the same way of working. Therefore, no one can be done without. As a matter of fact, this was also the case with the Old Testament tabernacle. No particular can be done without. The one certain hook was just as indispensable as the certain itself, the garment. But then one shouldn't say that the certain hook should be considered just as important as the certain. That's what was said in that gathering, what I've said this morning, namely, that everyone would spread the same quantity of light. No. God's word doesn't teach us that. For the distinction in the life of grace is no infirmity. Oh no. Man, then you understand nothing of what the Lord has created variedly in transformation, for they have all been created and directed to God's honor. God doesn't lose anything, mind you. Neither will God's people in heaven, otherwise there would be a deficiency in God. Considering this, the people, all that gathering, that all in that gathering must have been full of carnal ideas, and that is understandable, but not can be justified. But when the Lord comes into our life, the carnal ideas are slowly burned. That's the fruit of grace, and then we will find out what we are of earthly, only then we will understand Paul when he cried, I am carnal, sold under sin. Now congregation, it will be painful when God breaks you down in knowledge and capability of self. That will be painful, for sure. For superficial religion will also confirm that the man doesn't contribute anything. But man is an enemy of being put aside by the Lord. We are enemies of that. We are big enemies of that, to being put aside. For he doesn't want to be an outsider, but belong to God's people. And they are people whom you meet everywhere. They run over with thankfulness. But they have never been outsiders yet. What children know to be an outsider? They know that. Oh yeah. And they know that there was a time in their carnal life to be an outsider, to be in darkness. And what do you, and for that God does, God teach his people, what do you maintain yourself with, beloved, with some pious religion of doing this and leaving that? Is that your religion, doing this and leaving that? How wretched you are then, if you think you will be able to appear before God in this way. And even if you knew the whole Bible by heart, by head, or nothing at all, and only a little, they will all prove to be sandy foundations before the judgment seat of Christ. For things must be solved in our, in your and my life. Yeah, for sure. And I hear someone ask, what has to be solved, preacher? What has to be solved? We have to be solved in Christ, for our towering sin debts have to be forgiven. Only then it will be well in that great day, in the last day, when Christ appears on the clouds of heaven, then we have all the people on earth from the beginning to the end have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And as a matter of fact, there is a people on earth who cannot live anymore with the towering sin debts in this side of the grave, because the Lord has impressed God's justice in their hearts, and then something must happen. Then something must happen. Don't sleep. Then something must happen. When justice takes place, divine justice. And nowadays everybody believes, but nothing ever happens. You know what I mean? If that is the case, you have no true faith. That is quite simple. For in the life of faith, something happens time and again, every day. Faith is moving. God's people are always moving, spiritual. You know, you can be in prison, you can be in jail, but faith is always moving. And don't deceive yourself, my beloved. You are traveling, we are traveling to never-ending eternity. Seek your salvation with the great physician. And now that it is still the accepted time, the day of salvation. For when God comes into your life, then he makes you die completely of your would-be pious ideas. For otherwise it is at best that's the way I think about it, or I don't think about it, but on judgment day this will not stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You cannot stand with your faith, only with the righteousness of Christ. Even God's children may often quarrel on all kinds of non-essential things. And then one knows just a little bit better than another one. But then the prayer, O Son of God, make us conform to thy image, is not an exercise then. No. For in that course, God's children may be helpful to each other if only they let God's work speak. God's word has the only authority, has the only might. You know, it is, you know, God's word is the end of all our works. And then, my hearers, you should wait for the incoming of God's Spirit in the way of weeping and supplication. Yeah? Sometimes you have to wait for the Lord. Wait. Yeah? Time of experience, a difficult time, impossible time. To lay down before the narrow gate, for the narrow door. It's impossible, because the devil shoots his arrows on that sinner that is laying before the narrow gate, and the door is closed. Some preachers preach that that door is open. That's not true, because in the Bible, the Bible says you have to knock on that door. Now, when the door is open, knocking makes no sense for an open door. You have to knock, but that means you have to cry, not to pray anymore, to cry as a lost sinner. Lord, help me. Take away my guilt, take away my sin in a way of justice. They want to be through to go through the narrow gate, but they can't. They can't. They have no power. You know, a dead sinner has no power. Has no life in itself to go through that narrow gate. There must be another one to draw you, to pull you through the narrow gate. And that is Christ, because He is the narrow gate. He is the door. He says, I am the door, and everybody who go through me will be saved. Will be saved. Yeah. Now God grant that this may be exercised, then all that homemade reasoning will be disappear in the garbage, for then it will go about that free favor which has moved him from eternity, and not about the carnal, tangible, heavenly kingdom, as it there would be fleshly relations there. No, it is a holy and a distinct kingdom, and we have tried to make this clear to you, but my tongue is too short to explain it in detail. It would be a good thing if this brought this into the inner room, to pour out our hearts before God and to confess our guilt and offense, also after grace received. But first we will sing. We will sing Psalm 120, the verses 1 and 2. Psalm 120, the verses 1 and 2. Oh no, I'm wrong. Psalm 21, the verse 121, the verse 3, eh? Yes. Sorry about that. Psalm 121, verse 3. Thing when we confess our offense before God as a lost sinner, For then God in Christ would remember his covenant. Not on the foundation of our confessions, no, but because of the high priestly intercession of Christ.
Yeah.
And this implies, if my people acknowledge their offense, I shall remember my covenant. And this is only possible in the way of true repentance, because of the sins for the first time or by renewal. And is this repentance is a fruit of faith? I have a question. Is this repentance fruit of faith, or is faith a fruit of repentance? I have a question for you. Is repentance a fruit of faith, or is faith a fruit of repentance? Now, regeneration, one. Justification is also one, because God is one. God is one. And then what follows? The fruit. And what is the fruit? Repentance. And where is that faith? Faith is as a gift, is a gift of God. You know, there is no justification without faith. Thus faith follows is one. Faith is also one, but after the one of God. You understand that? You understand that? Faith is at the same time as justification. But the Lord is number one. He is the beginning. Not my faith. He is the beginning. He speaks, and I live. And you live, if he speaks. And then it cannot be without faith. When God speaks you alive, spiritual, then the faith will follow, for sure. Then it is impossible to be an unbeliever. And then what follows then? Repentance, true repentance, day after day, because every day we fall in sin. There are so much sin in the life of the children of God, and most of the sin we don't see it. We don't see it. We don't acknowledge it as sin. So, the conviction of sin goes through. A false doctrine teaches faith as a fruit of repentance, or repentance as a condition of faith. But according to the word, it is the opposite. Repentance is a fruit of free grace, a fruit of faith. And there are no condition of faith, because the gospel is unconditionally, for a lost sinner. Everyone may come to Christ, but only lost sinners will be found by Christ. Don't forget it. Who was looking? The lost sheep of Christ. The shepherd, the good shepherd of the lost sheep. Tell me. The good shepherd. He finds his lost sheep. And he put it on his shoulder. You know. And he carried them to the heavenly Father, the house of the Father. Yeah, that is the way of salvation. Everybody is welcome to Christ, but there is not a soul who comes to Christ by himself or by his own will. A free will doesn't exist. A free will doesn't exist. By nature we have a bound will. We are under the power of the devil. To do the will of the devil. And God's people don't have a free will. But a renewed will in Christ. After grace received, all God's people want to live holy. But they cannot reach that by works. Because the best works are contaminated with sin. Are mixed with sin. And God's people are holy in Christ, because he is their sanctification. He is also their source, He is the way of life. He is the life. And there are a multitude of believers in our days who take the law in one hand and the gospel in the other. There's a very nice religion, eh? The law in one hand and the gospel in the other.
Yeah.
But those people are under the law and know nothing. They have two subjects, but try to look at a subject on your left hand and the same time to look at a subject on your right hand. Try! It's impossible. In Dutch we say daar word je ontzettend scheel van.
Yes.
You have to translate it after the sermon. It's impossible. You cannot look upon two subjects on your left hand and on your right hand at the same time. It's impossible. Now that means that faith, true faith, God's true people has one subject of faith, and that is Christ only.
Yeah.
The law is in Christ. It's not beside Christ. The law is, you know, the Old Testament. Moses must put the law in the ark. And that is Christ. The law is in Christ. And even God's people have no knowledge of the law anymore, because the law has killed them. No knowledge of the law, because the law is spiritual and I am fleshly, sold under sin. It's all in Christ, all in Christ, all by Christ, through Him alone. If you have no knowledge of this, then you don't know how to discern spiritual things like the Spirit Himself teaches how in different ways God's people have to live and to go. And God works out His counsel in the salvation of His people.
Yeah.
And beloved, if that work of grace has been implanted in our hearts, in your hearts and my heart, then you cannot help proclaiming this to others. That is a fruit of faith. That is a fruit of true faith. You cannot be silent anymore.
No.
Then some Pharisees may say, "Be quiet." When my dog is barking, you know, too hard. Sometimes it is needful, you know, but it's necessary. But sometimes not. And I give a cry, "Be quiet." But that is impossible if you are in Christ, that you have and that your mouth is shut, your mouth is closed, you know, because Christ says to His disciples, "You are a light on the candlestick. You are the salt of the earth, of this world." You know? And then you become a witness of Christ. You become a witness of your subject of faith. And when you meet some people and the Lord give you a tongue, give you a mouth, give you a voice, give you a heart, you know. You have not to study that before you go to a gathering of people what to say. No. The Lord says, "I will give you the right words in that time. I will give you the right words." And then it goes simply, or not, you know. Then after that you cannot say it was so difficult to say something. No, it goes. Simply vanzelf. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing in man's life after grace received. Absolutely, yes. And now in our days, There is a religion, and they call themselves true Christians, and they call themselves true believers. And when Christ and when the Christianity is putting under the waters and under your shoes, and to make it bad, to make it false, then the truth, so-called true believers, can shut their mouth, can keep silent. Is that possible? Sometimes you see it to Peter, when he was in the room of Caiaphas, then he denies his master. Yeah, that after grace received it can be, but it is not normal. That is not a normal life of grace. No. Peter got true repentance because of his terrible sin against Christ. But all God's people knows Peter. Oh yeah. But they also know to be a witness that God, the Lord, God give them to be a witness in the midst of your own people, in the midst of other people, of where you are, if it will be with one word, you know, not with a long story, no, with a true story, with a true witness, with a true divine word. And God works out his counsel in the salvation of his people. And beloved, if that work of grace has been implanted in our hearts, then you cannot help proclaiming this to others. Like the psalmist says, with my lips have I declared all thy judgment, all the judgment of thy mouth. And then faith precedes confession of faith, with a sincere sorrow of heart for the sins. For repentance is not the condition of faith, again, but repentance is going by faith and the fruit of faith. Look to Peter when he denies his master after the third time. The Lord Jesus looked in Peter's eyes, and then Peter went outside weeping bitterly. And the first conversion, and that is also a heavenly distinction, the first conversion and the second conversion. Most of God's people knows only a first conversion. Is that not enough? Yes, that is enough. That is enough. Because regenerated, if you are regenerated, you can meet the Lord in peace. But if you will teach some other ones, you need a second conversion to be converted of your conversion. Do you know what I mean? The Lord Jesus says to Peter one time, if you are be converted, then teach your brethren. Was Peter not converted yet? Yes, he was converted. But he has to be converted of his conversion. So, when he denies his master, what was his conversion after that denial? Christ. Then Peter cries out, Christ is my conversion. That is also a secret, the second conversion in man's life after receiving grace. The first conversion goes in the course of justice, but also the second conversion, like we see by Peter, repentance after his denying. But be aware, the second conversion has nothing to do with justification. No, that is the first conversion. The second conversion has nothing to do with justification, but with sanctification, glorified by forgiveness of sins. You know that? Then the Lord's people will be established on that rock, eternal rock, Christ. And God always goes a straight way, beloved, for it sounds, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. How needful it is to come before God naked on this side of the grave for all our experiences and fears. For the Lord himself brings his people to that place to be saved by just and righteousness, by free sovereign grace, through the vicarious work of the mediator of God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ only. For then Christ will free his persecuted church through his pleadings with his Father. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Yeah. And then the anchor of faith is within the holiest of holies. And that's the way it should go, if it will be well both for time and eternity. Congregation, we have preached you in weakness about the distinction in spiritual life of heaven. But when we want to speak on the glory of the children of God, it is only possible if Christ has impressed his glory in a way of total death of self. And most of the time it is after the second conversion. Yeah. If we know, if we have some experience of the way of the cross, of then people are slandering you because you are of Christ, you are Christ's own. When you belong to Christ, then it is promised not a paved way to heaven. No, that is not promised. A way full of struggling. The narrow way. It's so narrow, you cannot walk beside each other. It's personal, you know. And then you have communion. Then you have communion with other children of God. But Christ in the midst. Christ in the midst. You know? Where two of three of my people are gathering together, I am in the midst of them, the Lord Jesus says. Yeah. And that is the church with the capital letter. And that is the church is worldwide. Yeah. And if we don't know anything of this, we can give ourselves one second rest, because then we still live for our own account. And that is so heavy burden. My dear congregation, that is so heavy burden to live for your own account. You cannot carry that. Let the Lord Jesus do it, because he has done it. He carried away all the sins of his people. Yeah. In a way of righteousness. Because then we still live, if we don't know anything about it, we still live for our own account and not on the account of the accomplished work of the mediator Christ. Now, for the last time, lost sinners in our midst, hear the gospel of free grace. Still, there is room for the chief of sinners. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Joshua says, if the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, or the world is your God, or earthly things, or whatever it will be, serve that God then. You cannot make a choice by nature, because we have made the choice by our deep fall in Adam. You cannot make a choice to serve the Lord, because it is against the election, the eternal election of God. He elected his people. And what? For what reason was Christ coming in the flesh? Was Christ became a mediator to serve his people? Yeah. That is what we need after receiving grace. To be served by him, you know. Lost sinners, prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, listen very carefully, as if it were the last time you are in the church. Listen. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is the thirst, athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The gospel of grace, it is freely. Not free, that is another thing, freely. Because Christ paid with his own blood his elected church. Lost sinners, his elected church. You can read it in Romans 5:6. Christ died for the ungodly. That is the elected church. That are the dear children. That are the beloved of God. Yeah. Such a monsters. Such a guilty sinners. Yeah. Because Christ paid for them. He paid with his blood. You cannot pay with dollars for your sins. Not even if you are a millionaire. It's impossible. The rich man has a bank of money, you know. But the poor Lazarus has nothing at all. But the poor Lazarus was paid by the blood of Christ. And that rich man lived for his own account. And when he opened his eyes in the place of fire, he was not saved. He was in hell. And that poor Lazarus was bought by the highest price of the blood of Christ. The angels carried his soul in the seat of Abraham. That is the difference. Are you rich? Then you are very poor. Are you poor? With a little faith, with a little true faith, then you are rich in Christ. Because Christ is so rich. And he becomes not poor. He becomes not poor to give you a multitude of grace. No. He remains rich because his blood cleansed from all our sins. Cleansed all our sins. His blood is powerful to cleanse the whole world, all the inhabitants of this world, from their sins. But it will not be happening. No. The Lord makes a distinction where it not is. That he is God. He is the creator. He says, Jacob, I love him. Esau, I hate him. Because he is God Almighty. And now Jacob knows Esau, but Esau don't know. He knew it not, Jacob. That is the big difference. The tax collector knows the Pharisee in the front of the temple, but the Pharisee don't know the tax collector in the back of the temple. That is the difference, you know. But when the Lord Jesus speak you free from all your sins, he take away that man, the old man under the law, he take it away because he was hanging on the cross in our body. And he cried out before his Father, it is fulfilled. No work of man can be added to that holy work of Christ, because he is the Savior, the only Savior of this world of lost sinners. Amen. Lord, we thank thee for thy hurt because thy word is so powerful, can conquer sinners, can conquer the devil, and it has conquered the devil because Christ is the conqueror. And in him we are more than conquerors because he has saved us by a true faith. And if we belong to Christ, we cannot be silent about him. We cannot serve the devil anymore. Oh Lord, and the knowledge, the spirit of knowledge, is I'm fleshly sold under sin. But the Lord Jesus is it for me. His obedience is my obedience. His holiness is my holiness. His righteousness is my righteousness. O Lord, glorify thyself among us. Increase thy kingdom among us. That all our members become a witness of thee. That Lord, remember thy church, the persecuted church around the world, and all thy people belong to the persecuted church, because all that fear the Lord, it is in thy word, that will be persecuted by family members, by Christians, by so-called true believers. O Lord, keep us in thy hands. For thy name's sake, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let we sing, congregation, Psalm 120, two verses, 1 and 2. Psalm 120, verse 1 and 2. finish with prayer. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen. Let us finish with the doxology, Psalter 197.